You are listening to Agincourt Pentecostal Church's audio podcast. The following message, You've Never Been This Way Before, the Smith & Smith Exchange, was presented on Sunday, September 20th, 2015, by Pastor Keith Smith and Pastor Jonathan Smith. For message notes and readings that correspond with teachings on this podcast, visit our website at www.apchurch.com.
So this fall of 2015, you and I have been challenged to go where we've never gone before, not to just go into another fall season and follow the same routine, same pathways that we've been on before, but to say, God, I want to go to a place with you that I've never been before. To say, God, you promise in your word that if I will go there, first of all, you want me to go there. It's not just my dream, my feeling, my idea, but it's something that you talk about. You want me to go to that place, and you will bless me when I get there. And it has been so wonderful to hear from so many who have gone to a new place. Your time in Scripture, you just maybe haven't had that personal devotional time before. And talking to God, just saying, I'm going to do that this fall. I'm going to put it right in there. God will bless me as I do that. To witness, to serve in a new ministry, you know, students, to go into this year that you've never been in before and say, I am going to live for Jesus. And when I stumble and fall, I'm going to get back up again and serve Jesus this fall. There's so many ways we have been going in places we have never been before. And so at the last part of the service today, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sort of finish up other parts of the service early enough that you will have time to do this. Pastors, elders, deacons, church leaders will be standing up here at the front. And what we want to do is just pray God's blessing over you as you move into further into fall 2015. Sound like a plan? And then we're going to anoint you with oil. And I need to say something about that because it really is helpful and meaningful when you understand it from the Bible. And, you know, in the old covenant, they, you know, a priest, a king, or a judge in the Old Testament, when they would begin new responsibilities, they would anoint them with oil and say, God's provision and blessing and equipping, God's resourcing be yours as you go into a new season. Remember in the Old Testament, they had the tabernacle and then the temple. What would they do? They'd take an ordinary basin that people used in their everyday lives in their homes. They would anoint it. And when it was anointed, it was set apart, not for everyday use in the homes, but set aside to be used in the worship of God. How many say, God, as I go into a new season, my purpose is to live on planet Earth to glorify you? Amen? And then King David, he was anointed multiple times in the Bible, at least three. When he was a young adult, he was anointed because he was moving into a future of responsibility that God had for him in the plan for his life. Then when David became king of the tribe of Judah, he was anointed for that responsibility. And then when David's responsibility increased, he had never gone this way before. He had never been king over all Israel before. And anointing him was a way of saying a fresh anointing for a whole new season of living for God, David. And how many are saying, when you go into fall 2015, God, I need all the help I can get, amen, from you, and I want a fresh anointing for living for you in a new season of my life. And so at the end of the service, now watch this, it won't be a time for you to come and say, can you pray for healing or for my cousin or for someone that's on my heart? We have those kinds of prayers, don't we? We are, at the end of lots of our services, we have prayer for healing and for needs that are on people's heart. The Bible says pray with all kinds of prayer. Today is a day for a prayer of blessing. a blessing upon you and this new season of your life. So don't come up with a prayer request. Just come and you can say family, you could say my witness, you could just say, I had a lot of people say to me, a new season. Just one word or one phrase, and then we'll just be able to anoint you with oil and pray over you for this new season, that God will fulfill his purposes through you and equip you with all that you have need of to live a great fall 2015 for him. Amen? Sound like a plan? And so we're looking forward to that. Now, as a church, we're going into a place where we have never been before. And I want to talk to you about that. You know, we're sort of tying in with where we have been with Joshua. And remember the 40 years in the wilderness, then there was a generational change. And then they went into the water, but it was so much different from when their parents went into the water with Moses, where God opened up the way and they went through and the Egyptians who were going to destroy them were themselves destroyed. It's so different when Joshua comes up to the river's edge, and now with the Ark of the Covenant and priests established, they're at a different place entirely. But there's a generational attitude change as well. And when the priests step in, it's not like it was before. The waters don't open up. The waters are stopped a number of kilometers further up the Jordan River. And then the priests step in and they walk into the water and it starts to dry up, and they stand in the middle of the river with the Ark of the Covenant. Do you remember the Ark of the Covenant? It's like having the Holy Spirit with us every day. They had the presence of God with them. They could look over and see the Ark of the Covenant and say, the presence of God is with us. How many want to live where you need look no further than your own spirit to see that Jesus is with you? Amen? But you see the priest there, and there's a picture there that I saved for this weekend that I invite you to look at. It's chapter 3 of Joshua. If you have your Bibles or whatever you use electronically to look up the scripture, look at verse 13, Joshua 3:17. I invite you to look for this. If the priests were the leadership of the old covenant people, watch what they do for the people. All right? They have this position as priests. What do they do with that position? Let's look at it. Joshua 3:17. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all the people, all Israel, passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. May that be a picture of the leadership of Agent Corp Pentecostal Church and Toronto Community Churches. What do I mean? I mean this. There are some people, like a priest, pastor, leader, whatever, deacon, elder, could be any you know, teacher, anything in the church. You give them a position, and they see that position as an opportunity to empower themselves. Jesus said, don't do that. He said, don't take on a position as the world does. They like to lord it over others. But there are other people. If they take on a position, they see that position, listen to me, not as an opportunity to empower themselves. That position is an opportunity to empower those that they are serving. Do you see that? That's the picture, I pray, has been, will, is now, and always will be, of the leaders of Christ's church in this faith community. I really pray that the idea is that we are there within the presence of God so that God's people can cross over into all that he has for them. Amen? May it always be that way. And I'm so thankful for those that work with me and lead with me, the leaders that we have. Our guiding light is always what's best for your church, Jesus. What's best for Christ's church? And our church is crossing over to where we've never been before. As a church family, I started talking to you about this last spring. In a large church, it's my responsibility to plan ahead. I usually plan in 3 years ahead, 5 years ahead. I'm always looking down the road. And that's how, you know, some of these wonderful outreaches that the Lord, we partnered in and the Lord has worked through in our years together, they haven't happened just because, you know, oh, it's a new year, let's get a new vision for this year. No, they've been prayerfully pondered many times for years. Remember A New Day in Missions 20 years ago? And then multiple weekend services, satellite churches, God book readings, like all these things. It took years to prayerfully plan and work with the staff and get material together. Building for the next generation, this year of invitation that we're in. How many know you go to a church where the leadership doesn't have a new vision every weekend? We pray, we ponder, Jesus, what do you want your church to be about in the future? Where do you want us to go? That's the cry of our heart. And so when I begin to pray over the time that we're in now, leading up to the 60th anniversary, which takes place in 2017, should the Lord tarry, I begin to just pray and I begin to say this, Jesus, you want more Trontonians to come to know you. And we can do more in terms of reaching others for you. How many know Toronto's a big city? A lot of people need Jesus. And then how can we better grow and equip the wonderful people that we already have to see them move into everything that you want for them? And then it gets more practical and specific. We need to move into an era where we do better at coaching and leading our staff. Because we don't want as pastors to be managers, we want to be leaders. And we want to see every one of our pastors and leaders more effective so that when they stand before Jesus, they will have used their future the best that they could for Jesus. That our satellite churches, thank God for the hundreds of people that they have reached for Jesus. But they need to be relaunched. There's just a whole new era that they need to be moving into to move into reaching more people in Toronto for Jesus. And then, you know, I really want this church to go forward strong. So many pastors, you know, they're in a church for 7 years and then 14 years and then 21 years. And every 7 years they take a sabbatical and our board has been so kind to say, Pastor, you know, you need to take a sabbatical. But the thing is, I don't want to go away unless the church can just go forward strong. And I don't want to just weigh down Dale and Jan and leaders that we have to just take on too much. I want you to be able to just keep moving forward spiritually and reaching more Trontonians. Are you hearing me? Just want it to keep moving ahead. And so as I begin to prayerfully ponder these things, I talked to the deacons. We put into place a committee of the future. That committee of the future is working with our deacons and myself. We're going to make a presentation to our members at the annual meeting and maybe even some information leading up to the annual business meeting in February. But we're just wanting our church to keep moving into everything that Jesus has for them. And we realized together, it came from my heart first, but as I shared it, there was just confirmation and affirmation all the way around, that the best way that we can move in the future into everything that God has for us is to have a co-pastor, to have someone who would come in with me and lead and feed and take a leading role in the vision of the church and just work together. And there was one name that immediately, every group I met with, whether it was deacons, committee of the future, even in my own heart, there was one name that went right to the top of the list. And then the more we talked about it and prayed about it, the more it stayed there. And when we interviewed this person, as the committee of the future said, we feel stronger than ever that this is the right direction for the future of our church. And so we phoned them, and thank God they're still praying to the one true God. And Pastor Jonathan Smith is here today to be the first ever co-pastor of Agent Court Pentecostal Church and our Toronto community churches. And And I'm looking forward to working together with him for years and years and years to come. Did you hear me? Years and years and years to come. You say, will your role change over the years? What's that old Sunday school course? When I get older. You know, when I get as old as what Pastor Vance says I already am. You know, but there will be changes over time. And but Pastor Jonathan, you know, when we talk about the future, he says, man, I just so want you to be a part of that. And my role may change. And, you know, I just love this church, this city so much. It's burning in my heart as strong as ever. And this is happening at a good time in our church to just sort of say, God, what do you have for us for the future? And anyway, I know you welcomed him already, but let's welcome him, and I'm going to give him a hug. Pastor Jonathan Smith, come on ahead. Good, love you, man. So I need to say, Shelley is in New Brunswick today, her hometown, because her mom's moving. And a lot of you know what it's like to not only take care of your family, but to take care of the parents. And so she's there. Keenan was with us at Saturday Night Gathering. That's your youngest. And Caleb's getting ready to go to university in Ottawa again. And so a whole time of transition. But anyways, Pastor Jonathan Smith, welcome. Good to have you here.
Good morning, friends. It's been a while. You've changed. I've changed. It's been an incredible, you know, we feel honored to enter into this new role. And I said to Pastor Smith, when we actually began the conversation of even coming here, it was unexpected. Never thought about coming back. It wasn't in my heart. I had said to you a long time ago, someday I hope we get to work together again. Because I so enjoyed the 9 years that we partnered together in ministry. Some of the most fruitful and healthy years of my wife and our lives and our family's lives. And so it's a privilege to be back here. And in fact, the conversation to come here was, it came kind of sideways at me. It was a process of leaving Montreal. And I know some of the people even here this morning were in my congregation in Montreal. So bonjour, mes amis. Bienvenue à l'église. Aging Court.
Oui,
exactement. We're just exhausting all of our French right now. But you know, it was a process of discerning God's will for our lives, and we had such fruitful years. And some of you all understand this when I said we kind of came into some of the most fruitful years of Montreal. Some of the most exciting, you do the hard lifting and the heavy work, and you get to these seasons where you start to see the fruit flowing. So it made no sense to even consider leaving at this juncture in time. And we had, it was probably a year ago this last February that Shelley and I felt the stirring. And at first, I honestly thought it was only because we had children leaving the home then. And I thought, you know, I'm missing them. This is a new chapter in life, and I'm not looking forward to it kind of thing. I was glad for them. You miss them. You know, they take up space in the house, but they're still good people. and then we heard from a church out west, a great church that you know, Pastor, and we began a process of praying and discerning. And in fact, the conversation to come to Aging Court started, and I believe it was May of last year. I had driven from Montreal to come here to Aging Court to honor one of my great friends, Charles Yates. It was his homegoing, and some of you remember Pastor Yates, longtime pastor on this staff, and it was in your office. I let you know about this church out west, and Shelley and I were praying about it, and that was the first time you introduced the idea of just, you know, if that's not the will of God, we should talk. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying to you, I don't know if you remember, I know you remember it now, but because I've mentioned it in previous services, but I just said, you know, if this means that I'm coming and you're going, I'm not so much interested. But if you're coming and you're staying, in other words, don't bail on me. then I was interested because, you know, I just thought this so aligned with some of the earlier thoughts I had felt about the partnership we had had in ministry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's mutual in the sense that, and the board would know this, that I couldn't do this with anybody other than someone that I trusted mm-hmm. and also knew the philosophy of ministry of, because it's so important to be on the same page and to have unity in the leadership of the flock. Now, that brings us to a point because, Pastor Jonathan, I think it's good for our church family to hear you talk about this. I'm going to talk for a bit, and then you respond, because there are so many churches, especially the new ones that are coming up, that are focusing on one generation. And some, it's just to get all the young adults together because they all like the same sound and music, or they'll get all seniors together because they all like to sing some of the songs that they sang years ago, and they love that. So they just sort of end up, and they say, oh, look at the unity we have. But watch this, and I've said this to the church family so many times, unity is not sameness. What they have is sameness. How many of the world can get together and sing Kumbaya? And there's, everybody's singing together. And they can have warm fuzzies, and they think that they have unity. No, no, listen to me. They don't have unity. They have uniformity. See that? See, in the Bible, the only time you have unity is when you have differences. Jesus said, you know, I want everyone to come to me. Not just people from one ethnic group or one age group or one socioeconomic background. Listen to how Galatians describes it. In Christ, there's neither male nor... How many know males and females? They sure are different. And how many can say, and thank you, Lord. Anyway, so male, female, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, we are all one in... And then Jesus says, when the world comes in and they see people of all kinds of generations and cultures and socioeconomic backgrounds all together in unity, guess what they say? The world will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have one for the other. And they see that. They see it. See, otherwise, listen, we do not even have unity in our church unless you were uncomfortable with something that happened this morning. It wasn't your preference. Boy, when they singing that song, I hope it blesses someone else because it's sure not blessing the socks off of me. And you didn't even wear socks, you know? So it's just, you do not even have unity until you have differences. Amen?
Yeah.
And so Pastor John, that's one of the main reasons the Lord blesses us here. And when I talked to Deacons Committee of the Future, and I know it came up in our interview with you, mm-hmm. What do you think about this multi-generational, multicultural, this diverse congregation?
Well, look at it on stage this morning, right? Many different cultures and generations. You had a senior citizen leading worship this morning. It was fantastic. I don't know where he is, but I hope he heard that. You know, I had the privilege of leading a great church in Montreal for 6 years. And it's a very downtown Montreal church, 85 nationalities in that church. Very, very diverse congregation. And when I came there originally, and this is glory to God, friends. When I came there originally, they had one Sunday morning service. And when we left, Shelley and I, thanks be to God, that we said we're one church, two languages, three campuses, and four services. And we had been able to launch a French campus, a French satellite campus out of the church, and multi-site and facility. And there's a reason why. You don't do that just to be able to say that. You do that because you want to sacrifice for people who are yet a part of the kingdom, don't you? You know what that's like if you're a parent. You sacrifice for your kids, don't you? Sometimes they know it. Sometimes they're ignorant of it. Sometimes you got to remind them of it, right? You know, but you sacrifice for your children. You make a way for them. And so we do for next generations.
Yep.
And so we do for cultures, don't we? We love that. Now, it's interesting. When I went to the church in Montreal, it was aging. It had done the multicultural thing well. There was a real strength around the multicultural. But it had kind of become more for those 40 plus. You know, that old, right? That old.
Can't imagine.
People without hair even were allowed in. It was just incredible. But and we knew that next generation mattered so much. We needed to make some changes to do that. And, you know, it's beautiful when you get that sense of sacrificing for the people sitting around you, isn't it? And for the people yet to be here even. That's incredible when you get that sense of sacrifice. One of my sons, who's in Winnipeg right now, but one Sunday he went to his friend's church in Montreal, an all-French church, filled with young adults. And Calum speaks French now. He's been immersed in it. And he came back and we were having lunch together. I said, how was church? And he went to see his friend baptized. And he said, it was amazing, Dad. It was amazing. Everyone was my age. They had strobe lights. They had booming sound. There were smoke machines going off in worship. It was amazing. And I was like, well, that's great. You know, I'm thinking get the talent all out. But he loved it. And they said, but I wouldn't attend there every week. I said, why? And some of you who are from my church in Montreal, you know what I'm going to say here. He said, because Dino Fontes aren't there. There are no Dino Fontes there. And Dino Fonte is an elder in the church in Montreal. He's probably 80-something years old. And if he was here on a Sunday morning, he'd be finding all of that next generation and going around and say, how's school? Can I be praying for you? Hey, you're newly married. How's it going? I've been praying for you. Or you just have a new baby in the family. And he just kept looking out and pouring in. And Caleb said, you know, why would I want to give that up? Why would I want to give that up? You know, that intercultural, multicultural value, it's so scriptural. You know, you talked about it in Joshua 3:17. You know, I love Jesus because Jesus never put power over people. He was power under people. Wherever he went, he served them and he raised their dignity and he raised who they were as a person, male, female, Gentile, Jew alike. And that's the type of thing when we sacrifice for one another, we make more room for each other.
Yeah. Let's talk about the teaching piece because, I mean, pastoring has changed so very, very much. You know, just to remind us, a lot of us in this room would be part of churches in the past where the main job was preaching, teaching, and then you did visitation and counseling. Mm. And then, of course, it gets very complex and more specialized when the church gets larger. You bring specialists on staff. But it is just so different today. And the leaders of this church would know this. I mean, you know, nowadays you have to be this visionary leader who knows everything about HR. Mm. And put those two together, you know, like it's just, you have to be the CEO of the organization and know enough of finances to be the CFO and be the COO and the EIEIO. You have to just, everything has to, and so it has changed. And so to be leading with someone, because I cannot give myself to the church and the staff and all the future and all these things. This co-leadership, I think, is going to be much like we saw in the Bible with Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus and Paul and Silas, so many, and Paul and Barnabas. Like there were just so many times where it was team leadership where they saw churches move ahead. And when it comes to teaching and leading together, yeah. Just talk a bit about that.
Well, I started pastoring 23 years ago. And boy, pastoring was different then. No email. Mm-hmm. People actually talked to you when they had a question instead of text you. It was a different world. And it's changed so much, and it's so complex now, especially in a church this size, over 40 staff in this church, and the complexity of, you know, finance, HR, vision, teaching, all of these pieces. How many know it's not just the church, but the world's become more complex? Yes. I thought technology was supposed to rescue us from that, but it's just added more layers of complexity, has it not? And, you know, there's complex issues of sexuality and finance. And I love Scripture because Scripture always cuts down to what it's all about. Cuts through the noise, doesn't it? And I think this idea of co-leadership, it's new for you and I. And this is a phenomenal journey that we're on. And I couldn't do it if it wasn't with you, Keith. I know that. But in this journey, Pastor, I think of the idea of lifting the load together makes so much sense in a congregation this size. Doing it alone would be, it is a difficult task. And nobody has everything. Nobody's that strong, right? We need each other. That's why it's the unity of the believers that builds the strength of a church. And so I think in this complex season, in this complex world and ministry and life, this only makes sense.
Yeah. Now, talk to them a little bit. We're talking about, you know, long term, but October we're doing a series together.
Yeah, the power of words, the power of a person's words. We know that life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? It is, just so you know. And we're going to be talking about constructing, you know, what those power words do. And Pastor Smith's going to lead, start the teaching series, and I'll end it. And we know words are powerful, like co-pastor and collaborate and cooperate and coexist.
And in the first service, Pastor Van had co-greeting. Anyway,
right, just, yeah.
Just,
he did.
You know, these people that get too much education. Anyway. all right, we talked about unity in the worship and in the fellowship with each other, and there's just so much we've talked about that we're going to lead God's people into in the days ahead. We talked about the teaching part. Now let's talk about outreach for a bit, because I'm thinking of that guy that I met on the elevator this morning coming to church. You know, he said, where are you going? And I told him, do you know what he also said? You know, he said, because I live right across from Fairview Mall, right in the area that we have Parkway Forest. Was my heart ever lifted to hear that he said this? When I said, I'm going to teach some of the greatest people in Toronto today. He says, oh, is that that church that meets in the school? Guess what he's referring to? Parkway Forest Community Church. That's great. And here's what I said to him. I didn't let on. I just said, I know that church. Didn't tell him it was my church. I said, I know that church. Great pastor, Pastor Karina. You know, you go visit. But isn't it great? You know, to his last words when he got off the elevator were to me, good luck. Good luck. And but I think of that person because I'm going to be inviting them. Esther and I have been praying over those that we live so close to in this condominium building. And we're going to be asking them to come to Jesus. But, you know, I don't know anyone of them that has clothing, maybe like a lot of us, we're sort of dressed up as we come to church today. I said to the church family here, Pastor Jonathan, as we went into the year of invitation, I said, I think it would break my heart, because I think it would break the heart of Jesus, if someone who wanted to know Jesus felt that they had to go and buy some different clothes than what they already have in order to come to church. Amen? You know, I love the fact that people can come to church and find someone that's dressed a bit like them, right? Yeah. Now, I need to say this. If all they have in their closet is bikinis, then, you know, go find some new clothes to come to my church. But you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But they should be able to come to church and just find people that are just. I don't think we ever got Charles Yates out of his suit. I think he slept in it, you know. But you know what I'm saying. But they're here, and they're worshiping God, and it's the, you know. And then you have people just anyway. It's just so important, because our heart, isn't it? If our people were able to dig down deep into our hearts, I think that they would see that right at the core is the heart of Jesus for Torontonians who do not yet know Jesus.
Right.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, when I left Agent Court and I went to Evangel, I wore a suit for the longest time, until I began to realize nobody in our community really walked around in a suit on Sunday morning, and no one was engaging that way. And I sacrificed that to be able to engage that next generation. And what was kind of cool is, in this church that had been aging, and we grew 12% in that 18 to 35-year-old category over the last 2 years alone in Evangel. And I say that only because I give God all glory for that, because that group is the hardest group to reach in Canada.
Yeah.
If you read anything in church world, you'll know that that's the age group that has abandoned the church.
Yep.
That's some of your kids, right? That's some of your grandkids, right? And we realized we needed to embrace all generations.
Yep.
And so many people made sacrifices, and I wanted to always be that type of church, like you said. It doesn't matter. People come in a suit. They could come in shorts. It's okay. It's okay. As long as the Word of God doesn't get changed, right? As long as that's the truth that is preached. So I believe in my heart that healthy things grow, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
And growing things change. Everybody say change.
Change.
Stop sweating now. You don't need to sweat on this one, because that's hard, isn't it? Is change hard for you? Hardest person to change is me, for me. All I know is we serve a God that never changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everything he touches and everybody he touches changes.
It's true.
Incredible. And so if you're in a season of change and you're feeling a little discombobulated right now, make sure you anchor yourself to God. So healthy things grow. When I brought my little baby home from the hospital, he was cute this small, but I knew an indication of health would be he wouldn't be that small forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Healthy things grow. Growing things change. Here's the neat thing. Change forces you to trust God. Oh, friends, when you're in a season of change, anchored into something that doesn't change, right? And here's the neat thing. When you trust God, you'll obey God. You know, when you trust that he means the best in his teaching in sexuality or finance, if he means the best for you, you'll obey him. And here's the neat thing. Obedience makes you healthy. Healthy
yes.
things grow. Growing things change. Change forces you to trust God. Trust leads to obedience. Obedience makes you healthy. So that next generation, those people who are far from God, I know they matter to you. This church has always been a church that's been willing to sacrifice for people who've yet to hear the good news of the gospel. And we know this, the gospel can penetrate the hardest of hearts, can it?
Yes, it can.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, I remember over 20 years ago when Esther and I first moved to Toronto with young kids, David and Matthew, I remember being introduced by who was then one of our deacons, now one of our elders, to the people we were speaking to at Shepherd Village, a senior's residence, as they gathered together. And here's what he said. I've never forgotten it. He said, you know, we loved Pastor Mulligan, and here's our new pastor, Pastor Smith. And they said, he said, you know, when we had our first child, we loved that child so much. That child was, we just couldn't love that child more. All of our love was for that child. But when my wife became pregnant with our second child, we began to wonder, how's this going to work? How are we going to love this second child? Do we take the love and divide it in half and say, half for you, dude, and half for you, dudess, if it's a girl, you know? No. He said, when the child came, love didn't divide, love multiplied. Isn't that the truth? And you know, you church family, you have been so good to Esther and I. And then our Matthew found his Margaret here. And then David found Katie. And now grandson Reuben and grandson Finley. And may there be plenty more. They love this church. They could go to any church in the city, but they love this church. Well, one can't because he's on staff, I guess, eh? But anyway, but be awkward if he was in another church on Sunday when he's supposed to be leading worship. But I just want to just say, church family, would you open your hearts and give these Smiths the same love that you gave these Smiths? And how many are we going to have good years together? Years and years and years together. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Love you, man.
You were listening to Agent Court Pentecostal Church's audio podcast. Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast. Click the subscribe button on our website at www.apchurch.com/podcast or search for Agent Court Pentecostal Church in the iTunes store. All creative content and production for this podcast is provided by the Creative APC team.